Father, we just thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Dear God, you are above all, and your name is worthy. Lord, I come humbly to you, confessing that I am a sinner, and that I do deserve your justice, and do not deserve your grace. But thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace that you have rained on me. Father God, I just thank you for what you've done in my life. I thank you for the privilege of being able to speak your name, Lord, that I am so unworthy. But Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And once again, as the sister Debbie mentioned in her prayer, Lord, that it would not fall on deaf ears. Lord, we love you, we adore you, and our purpose here is to lift you up, Lord. You said that if we would lift you up, that you would draw all men unto yourself. Father, so have your way, and may your words bring life and peace and encouragement to those that are receiving it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to just say that God has been very good to me. And you know, the thing is that I've learned something about reading about the Apostle Paul. And it's interesting because a lot of times that we, you know, we always mention the Apostle Paul. And out of all the saints and all the New Testament, you know, apostles and stuff, we always talk about the Apostle Paul. And, well, he's responsible for writing 2/3 of the Bible, the New Testament, I should say. And his conversion and on the way to Damascus and meeting Jesus on the road to Damascus. And so it's just interesting that, you know, that Paul is a very interesting guy, and yet his background and who he is. And I'm saying all that because my testimony, I'm not the Apostle Paul, and yet I feel that I had an experience on the road to Damascus. And my experience happened almost 20-something years ago. Most of you guys know me by Brother Rolando, and that's I like that. There's nothing wrong with that. I am Brother Rolando, even though I've also been ordained as a pastor. I've been a Christian over 20-something years. I'm 49 years old. These are my beautiful parents here who are responsible because of their prayers and their perseverance and their love. The Bible says that love never fails because of their love. You know what I mean? I am who I am today by the grace of God. God using them to bring me where I'm at today. And so, you know, I always like to bring a word of encouragement, a word of hope, that it doesn't matter what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, where they're at in life, there is hope. And there is hope. It doesn't matter what the situation looks like. God's grace is able to reach down into that darkness and reach and save that individual. And you know what? And that's been my experience. My experience has been, can I get a little bit more rope on this?
I think you should pull it.
Because you are, this is, okay, because this is holding me down.
Get a little more out for you.
It's holding me back. It's holding me back, right? So, anyway, praise God. And so, you know, my thing is this. So, I'm going to be very transparent. And I speak, and I've spoken to thousands of people before in front of me. And it's very hard to speak to convicts. I've spoken to a couple thousand convicts at one time. And it's hard to speak to convicts because sometimes, you know, they're a tough crowd, man. You know that? How do I know that? Because I've been a convict for 25 years. I've been state raised for the last 25 years of my life. I'm almost 50 years old. I'm 49 years old, and I've been state raised. And some people say, what does that mean, state raised? It means that I've been to the juvenile detention centers. I've been to the California Youth Authorities, everyone you could name. I'm not proud of this, but it's true. It's the choices that I made. And I found myself in those places because I wanted to be me. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And I can relate to when God told, you know, Adam, he said, Adam, don't eat from this tree of good and evil. What was God really saying to Adam? What he was saying was, I'm God and you're not. I make the decisions. I decide what's good and what's evil. But the Bible says that Adam and Eve partook. And their eyes were open and they knew good and evil. You know, and since then, since the fall, I believe that it's our nature. We desire to just want to be our own little gods. And you ever hear people say, this is my life and I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. Right? Amen. That was my attitude. My parents, I said, don't tell me anything, you know? And so I like to be transparent because you know what? Being a fake doesn't win nobody over. You know what I mean? Sugarcoating it doesn't win anybody over. Because the because what's really happening out there in our society and our community, it's real, and we need something in order to deal with that. We need something that's real, and the only thing that's real that we have is the Word of God. It's the Spirit of God working in us and through us. And so, you know, I found myself in and out of these detention centers, and then finally I went to prison, and I was out, and I went in again, And then I came out again, and then finally it got me to the point where it was like, hey, you need a serious timeout. And I was sentenced to 23 years with 85%. So I did end up doing 17 years on my last term, and actually I get off parole in 4 weeks.
Wow.
I get off parole in 4 weeks. This will be the first time I'll be off parole since I was 14 or 13 years old. I've been on probation or parole. And so, you know, here I tell people, look, God has been very good to me. How can I not share what God has done in my life? And I want to tell you that God is real. And some of you are going to say, well, we know that. You know what? God can change anyone. Don't underestimate God. God can do what He wants, when He wants, and how He wants.
Amen.
I was a very stubborn young man. But I've learned that there is nothing more stubborn than the love of God. And you know what? There I was, 29 years old, in the county jail in Yolo County, a county that I grew up in. I'm a high-profile case. I'm getting the media attention, me and my co-defendant. My co-defendant was a strip dancer. I had been a little bit involved in the adult entertainment business, and she was from Seattle, and I had been working with girls and things like that. And there she was, and we're both, you know, facing this high-speed chase, evading police officers, and the child endangerment, and hostage. And I said, man, what happened? I was thinking to myself, I'm a drug dealer. How did I get myself into this? But there I was. I was bitter. I was angry. And my attitude was, don't talk to me about God. I got, at 29 years old, I got to a point where Isaiah talks about, hey, the people, you know, there's those people in those days that believed that sweet was bitter and bitter was sweet and up was down and down was up and good was evil and evil was good. I was there at that point. Everything that was evil, I thought was good. And what was good, I said, man, that's evil, man. But you know what? There I was. In the county jail, sitting in isolation, high maximum security, there I was in a cell. And you know something? I truly believe that even though we have a responsibility, that we have to utilize our free will to choose God. I don't understand His sovereignty, but yet at the same time, He is also choosing us. And at the same time, He is also seeking us. The Bible says in Luke 19, verse 10, it says that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I wasn't looking for God. Now, maybe my circumstances had me ripe. You know, sometimes you go to a cherry tree, and sometimes the cherries ain't ripe yet. Don't pick them because you're just going to bruise them. And so, but then when they're ripe, they're ready for the picking. And I believe maybe now as I reflect back and I reminisce, I look back and, you know, and I believe that my heart was right. It was ready. I didn't know it yet, though. I didn't believe that. But as I look back now, God had put me in a situation, you know what I mean? He puts us in a situation where he says, can you hear me now? You know, have you ever heard somebody where they're like, have you ever been to have somebody where it's like, well, I'm just in traffic. I'm in the fast lane. It's a metaphor. It's a figure of speech. You know, I'm in the fast lane. I'm moving fast. I'm in traffic. But sometimes God has to put you in a situation where you can hear Him. Where you can hear God. Because I was in traffic, so to speak. And I was going so fast, 100 miles per hour, I couldn't hear God. I didn't want to hear God. And you know, I believe that that's how God works, that He allows some circumstance to come into your life. It's like a boulder. He drops on you. He drops on you, whatever that circumstances may be, whatever that may be. It may be something that you're just like, what's this all about? A health issue? A divorce? It may be, I don't know what it is. But one day you're just walking down the street thinking you're too sexy for your chair. You know, and then all of a sudden he drops that boulder. Boom! And you know what? And all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where you're like, I can hear God. You know? I can hear God now. Because he's brought you in that place. And I believe that's where I was in that kind of jail. Even though for some reason I was still bitter. I was bitter and I was angry at the world. And I said, no. It's not going to... I'm going to have the last say so. But I had people praying for me. I had people that never stopped getting on their knees for me. Literally getting on their knees and saying, son, we love you. And we're trusting God. There came a point in my life where my own mom said, I sleep better when you're in jail. I sleep better when you're incarcerated. And none of that meant nothing to me. None of that touched me. Because I had grown up to be a young, angry young man. And I had beautiful parents. I'm a fourth generation Christian. Most of my uncles are pastors. And growing up in a Christian home, God has shown me, doesn't get you to heaven. Amen. I always thought, well, we're Christians. You know? We're Christians. But that didn't make me a Christian. Going to the pet shop don't make you a cat. Going to the garage don't make you a Cadillac. It's embracing Jesus Christ. It's making him your very own. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I had never really heard the gospel, even ashamed to say, growing up in a Christian home. I just knew that God was up there. The devil was down there. He was after me. He was after me. And I'm in the middle, and I don't know what to do. It's like, but there I was. I'm now in a county jail, not realizing it, not looking for God. Very angry, very arrogant young man thinking, man, you know what? I was very proud that I had not prayed in years. I said, man, I don't need prayer. A lot of guys come to jail, they call it jailhouse salvation. They come to jail and they cry out to God. Now, I'm saying there's nothing wrong with crying out to God. But you know what? It's lip service. A lot of people go to jail and they're like, I need help. I'm trying to get out of jail. So call God. 911. They call God. You know what I mean? They get out and then they get out and guess what? They forget about God. We call it jailhouse salvation. I have been proud that I said, you know what? I'm not calling out to God. God's the last thing on my mind. But I learned something about God's stubborn love. I was on his mind. I was on his mind. And there I was in the county jail, and it was dinner time. And they bring your food through a slot, a tray slot. My slot opened. Officer gave me the meal, and I got up from my bunk, and I got my meal, and it wasn't steak and lobster. But I got my meal, and I sat down, and about 30 minutes later, there's a mail call. And mail call, the officers walk by your room, and they'll call out your name, LaSoya. They'll kick your mail under the door. It's always nice to get a piece of mail. I reached down, not knowing that this letter was going to bring me to my knees. If you would have told me, you know what, that letter right there, big boy, is going to make you into a boy. A little boy. It's going to make you weep. And I have not cried since I was 12 years old. And I'm 29. And I was proud of that. Because when you grow up in the system, that's what it's all about. It's only the strong survive. If you show weakness, no. It's a dog-eat-dog. And there's a lot of shark in the system. And you're grown up to be a young man, to be hard and callous. And you know, like, I'm going to make this. Because it's so segregated in there. and you have the whites, and you have Hispanics, and you have the blacks, and you have the gangs, and you have to. You don't have a choice. 17 years old, going away, and it was like, I walk into the place, and right away, where are you from? What gang do you represent? I'm like, I'm from Yolo County, dude. I'm like, we don't have gangs in Woodland. Dude, I'll pick you some tomatoes or something. I'm like, you know, but I'm not picking up no weapon here. I'm like, they're like, but I knew really quick that he was either you had to roll with them or you were going to get rolled out of there. Guys, so you learn to be cold. You learn to survive. And that's where I had become. And there I was in that county jail, 29 years old. And if you meet most of my family, I come from a very beautiful family. There are 7 siblings, and most of them are serving God. And they used to always tell me that I was the black sheep of the family. But I've learned that God loves sheep. But you know, there I was. There I was. I'm not all over the place because I'm getting somewhere. I like when God moves. He knows what we need to hear and how we need to hear it. But there I was in the county jail. I'm opening up this letter. And guess who wrote me a letter? It wasn't Billy Graham. You know, it's interesting how God works. I always tell people, don't put God in a box. Don't. The Bible says that the heavens of the heavens cannot even contain him. The Bible says that the earth is his footstool. And then when we hearken to him, I mean, when we cry out to him, that he hearkens to us. You know what that means? He leans down to us. Solomon said that. Shall I build God a temple with my hand? The heavens of heavens can't even contain him. There I was. I opened up this letter. It was my co-defendant. Now keep in mind that she's a strip dancer. Not a Christian strip dancer. She's a strip dancer. And she's not a Christian. But she had my undivided attention. I was infatuated with her. I wasn't in love with her. It was lust. But there I was, and I opened the letter. I was excited to hear from her. She's also incarcerated, and she's on the women's side. She's from Seattle, and she's away from home, and she's down here working the business. And I started to read this letter. And it was like a 9-page, and I didn't get to read all of it but the first page. And she started telling me about how some of the women in ministry in jail, you know, you have outside ministries that come in. And there's women that come in, and praise God for those ministries. And they came in, and some girls invited her to a Bible study. And she was telling me how, you know, how she felt that, you know, she needed a change in her life. And she had heard some good stuff in Bible study. But she didn't accept Jesus Christ. She just felt that, you know, that she didn't want to go to hell. She's like, I don't know. I mean, I heard a lot of good stuff in Bible study. But what's interesting is that God was pursuing me at that moment. She said, Rolando, she said, God is doing something in your life right now. I'm 29 years old. You have to keep in mind that I thought I was a bad dude. And I thought I was somebody big on the streets. But God showed me how little I really was. And there I was, and I read that, and I had a knot in my throat. And something compelled me to read it again, and I said, Rolando, God is doing something in your life right now. And all of a sudden, tears were like, and I'm fighting it, right? But that was the Bible. You know, I'm telling you, man, I'm preaching to somebody. As I believe that when the Bible says in Genesis, let there be light, there was light. God spoke, and so it was. And I believe that the new birth, that's how it happens. I believe that God hovers over a man and says, let there be light. There's light. And you know, there I was, and I'm fighting the feeling. You know, here there's a song that says, don't fight the feeling. I was fighting it. I'm going to tell you something. I said, one more time. I was compelled. Now I know. As I look back now, it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knew what I needed to hear, how I needed to hear it, and by who. Rolando, God is doing something in your life right now. And I remember dropping that letter and weeping uncontrollably. The last time I remember weeping like that, I was 12 years old. My dad gave me a good spanking. I was on my knees in that county jail, and I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know the sinner's prayer. I didn't know John 3:16. I just knew that I had made a mess out of my life. And that was my prayer. I said, God, after I couldn't cry anymore, like 45 minutes of just weeping and weeping, and I finally just ran out of tears, and I said, God, I've made a mess out of my life. And if there's anything you can do with it, it's yours. And that was 20 years ago, and I remember getting up off my knees. There wasn't nothing magical. Gabriel didn't show up. It wasn't woo-woo. It was like I just knew that something happened on the inside. I just knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was different.
Amen.
I got up off my knees and I said to myself, I'm a Christian. And I had this burning desire to want to tell somebody. And I said, I need a Bible. I need a Bible. I'm thinking, I'm in my selfie. Where am I going to get a Bible? So that night I go to sleep. And I wake up the next morning about 5, 6 in the morning. The officers come on the mic. They say, oh, Soya, you want a shower? Because I was at the corner cell up on top. So that day, that morning, they started on my side. And I said, yeah, I want a shower. Well, breakfast don't come till like 7, 8 o'clock. So they open it, door opens, I come out, you have your towel, your boxers, your shower shoes, and I'm walking down the aisle. Everybody's asleep, nobody's up, because in those county jail, they always stay up all night and sleep all day. So everybody's asleep. As I'm walking down towards the shower, I'm on the top tier, I'm turning right, there's a room right there. The man that slept in that room had his tray slot open where they put the food tray in. And I looked on that tray thing and there was a Bible. And I looked around, I'm like, everybody's asleep, right? I looked in his cell, he's covered up like this with his blankets. And I'm like, I grabbed it. I took it back to my cell. I put it in my cell, then I go on the side. I'm like, let me go shower. I'm going to go shower. I come back, and as I come in, then it's the next room that showers, and they go all the way down. So I'm now have a new appetite. Because did you know that when you're born again, you have a new appetite?
Yes.
You have a desire for God's word. That's why Peter says, as newborn babes, desire, one translation says, crave the what? The pure milk that you may grow thereby. And I had a desire. There was new appetites in my new birth. And I was thirsty. I was like, I need something. I just know I just needed the Word of God. And there I was, man. I started to kind of devour the Word of God. And I knew I had to tell somebody. You know, and the guys used to reach out and talk to me at nighttime, like I said, pretty much after dinner. It's like everybody's on their slot. They got their mattress rolled up, and they're on their slot talking to each other. So you got like 20 conversations going on. And I used to tell good stories. And when I would tell stories, everybody would listen. Everybody would be like, and I would tell them a lot of stories. But the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I didn't get on that slot. Then the next day I didn't get in that slot. Finally, they called out my name. They was like, "Hey, Roland." And I'm like, "What's up?" And they're like, "You still up there?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm up here." They're like, "Dude, you okay? Because, like, we haven't heard from you in a couple of days. And like, you know, every night you'd be on the slot and, you know, you'd tell us all kinds of stories. Tell us a story tonight. Tell us about, you know, the way, you know, how you lived out there." And because I was also a drug dealer. I used to sell drugs, and I've never used drugs. It's interesting. A lot of people are like, "You've never used drugs? I don't smoke, don't drink coffee. I've never experimented anything." So I was a big-time drug dealer. I sold a lot of drugs. So I was indicted by the grand jury in 1993 for a ringleader, you know? And after that, 93, I got out on that one. And so I know what it's like to sit on the lap of luxury. I know how it's like to sell drugs and money and everything that money brings. And the guys used to love hearing those stories. But that day, I knew that, well, I was like, man, I got on that slot, I'm like, "Hey, no, I'm good, man. I'm doing good." But there was something on the inside. I didn't know at the time, but now I know as I reflect back, right? It's like, I know it was the Holy Spirit. He says, "Tell them about me. Tell them what you just did." So I was like, oh, man, I started working up like, man, really? Oh, man, there's a lot of people listening, right? So finally I'm like, "Hey, And I was talking to a specific guy. I go, "Hey," I forget, I think his name was Rick or something. I said, hey, bro, no more stories, bro. No more stories." And he's like, what's going on, man? You've been quiet up there." I said, "Hey, I'm a Christian now." They're like, "What?" Everybody's like, "Y'all right up there?" Like, and I'm like, no, listen. I said, and I didn't know anything. I had this burning desire to tell somebody about what just happened. And they said, "Well, what's going on?" I said, "Look, I don't know. All I know is that I'm a Christian, man, and those stories are not appropriate anymore." I don't think I even used the word appropriate. I just said, "That ain't cool, bro. I'm cool, bro. Those stories are over, man. I need something different in my life." And then a couple other guys came out the slot. They're like, "Hey, bro, you know, I'm proud of you, man. That's good for you." Well, at the time, if I knew what I knew now, I would have been like, "No, it could be good for you too." But I guess he was right in being justified. I was thinking, well, yeah, I guess, right? I'm a bad dude, so good for me. But I'm going to tell you something. There I was, man. And I spent another almost 2 years in that county fighting my case. Finally, I said, "I'll take the deal. I take full responsibility for my part in the high-speed chase and the child endangerment and the hostage." And I always did. But what I didn't like was my co-defendant was throwing everything on me. And that was the part. I kept telling her, "Listen, you take yours, I'll take mine. We go from there. The media is making me look out to be I'm the bad dude, even though I am, but you participated. You conceived this. This was you. I participated. I'm a drug dealer, I do other stuff that's bad, but this high-speed chase was not me." And so, she wouldn't. Finally, I just knew I had to accept the deal. And so I signed my deal, I got sentenced to prison. And for the next 17 years, I devoured my Bible. 8-12 hours a day. For the 17 years. For 17 years, I read, and I read, and I read. And you know what? I called it a state paid retreat. That was my seminary. I looked at it as a Bible college. A Christian Bible college is how I looked. It was getting paid for. 3 hot meals, you know, they do my laundry, everything. I was like, man, this is better than seminary. You know? And I spent almost 17 years, over 17 years, just devouring myself. I became an elder in the church. And they have a lot of good brothers in their elders, and they're very genuine and sincere. I became an elder in the church, and we got to preach a lot, and God was preparing me and doing Bible studies and all that stuff. But, you know, I've always like, Lord, you've been so good to me, Lord. But through those years, God taught me so much. There's even a point in my beginning of the year where I became so self-righteous. I didn't know that we could become self-righteous. And it's just learning and learning. And the more I learn about Him, the smaller I get. The closer I get to Him, the more I say, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinner. Isn't that what Peter said? When he seen the miracle of Jesus, he realized that he was in the presence of deity. He says, Lord, depart from me. I am a sinful man. And I say also too, when he got to see God, the King of Kings, sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe, the Bible says, filled the temple. And the angels would just say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah says, woe is me, a man of unclean lips. When you see the holiness of God, you say, wow, thank you, God, for the cross. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, you have been so good to me. How can I not tell somebody? And as I reflect in the beginning, I mentioned the Apostle Paul, and you know what? That's what happened in Paul's life. Paul seeing Jesus face to face. And it's interesting. We're so different today as Christians. We're more intelligent. We're more sophisticated. We tell God what we want. But if you notice what Paul did, he asked 2 questions. He said, Lord, who are you? And what do you want me to do? You know something? It's not who I am, but it's who he is. The Bible says that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And I'm going to tell you, I am so grateful for the gift of life. And it is a gift. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. God has been so good to me.
Thank you, Jesus.
And yet, I am so unworthy. But I thank God for the Word of God. Because if it wasn't for the Word of God, I think I'd have already given up. I remember in the beginning of my Christian career, I was like, man, I'm good, man. I'm like, everybody's, man, you're on fire for God. Ooh, yeah, I don't sin no more. Yeah, I'm good. I'm like, yeah, I don't sin no more. Dude, it's been like 3 months. I ain't done nothing. I'm good, right? Like, wow, no, I'm serious. Think about it. I'm like, man, I'm like, ooh, man, this is good. And then it went on like that for a while. Then one day, I fell on my face. And I looked up and said, Lord, how could that be? How did I just do that? Why, Lord? But it's called progressive knowledge. The more you learn, the more you're encouraged to keep fighting the good fight. To keep running with endurance, the Bible says, laying every weight of sin, every weight that holds you down. The sin that so easily weighs you down, it says. Paul says, take it off and run with endurance the race that is set before you. Looking unto Jesus, your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And then I've learned and I've read and it says the righteous falls 7 times, but he gets back up. And you know what? I'm learning more and more that God, you are faithful. I'm not. Yeah. Even when I'm not, you're still faithful.
Amen.
And God, there is encouragement in the Word of God that makes you keep going. Because, you know, we have Goliaths in our lives. And I'm going to tell you the Goliaths in our lives. It ain't the water bill. No. Oh, my God, I can't pay this. PG&E, this is Goliath trying to take me down. It's not. You know what Goliath comes for? He comes for your faith. That's what he comes for. He's not worried about the water bill, the rent, the mortgage. That's small stuff. Goliath comes to defile you and the armies of the living God. And when all those people in Israel were shaking in their boots, they were shaking, weren't they? That's what the Bible says. Shaking in their boots. Even King Saul was shaking in his boots when he should have been the one out there handling his business. But old Shepherd David came and brought his brother some cheese and milk or whatever else, probably some pan dulce. We call it sweet bread. Mexico. He probably brought him some pan dulce. But he came and he said and he looked and he said, something's wrong with this picture. And he started listening to the people talk. Have you not seen this Goliath? Splendor. The man would come out and people would be like, wow. But you know what he's after? He's after our faith. Goliaths are the one that wants to take you down. And he says, come out and meet me so we can fight like men. And a lot of that is metaphor, but we are fighting a spiritual battle. Amen. And that devil wants you to say, come on out. Come out and fight me. And I'm going to turn you into what you really are. You're nothing. I'm God. But a proper perspective is powerful. And David, that old shepherd, had a proper perspective. And he came and he says, and he's seen and he was listening. Woo-wee, that's a good reward too. I get to marry the daughter, I think, and then my family's going to be exempt from taxes? He said, I'll fight this guy. Who is this guy? Listen to what he said. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy? He didn't say Israel. You notice everybody else was saying he's come out to defy Israel. Mm-hmm. No, it's not about that. David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine who has come to defy the armies of the living God? David says, you can't take this guy. He's a man of war from his youth. But David said, either way, I'm going to lend you my armor. David's a smart man. He says, if he wins, I'll be telling him, well, you know why you won, right?
Yeah.
You won because that was, you got my armor. You used my stuff. Don't forget that, boy. David tried it. What did he say? I'm not used to this. I got a slingshot right here. He says, I got a slingshot, Saul. And some I got four rocks. What he was saying was he's got the promises of God. He says, in this circumcised Philistine, I'm going to take him down. The way I take the lion and the bear down when they come after the sheep, and I go and I take it, I open the lion's mouth and I take that sheep, and I go after the bear, that's what I'm going to do to this Goliath. David says, so be it then. And David said, come on. And he took David down. Every day the church is engaged in a spiritual warfare. And Goliath is trying to take us down. Always trying to challenge our faith. He does it to me. Sometimes you can get so spiritual and you think you know so much word and I'm so connected. But the Bible says, he who stands, take heed lest he fall. We need God each and every day. God, I need you today. And God said, then you know what you need to do? Put on the whole armor of God. You notice he didn't say put on the Pentecostal armor, put on the Baptist armor, put on the non-denominational armor. He says put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against the wiles of the enemy. And that's what we do. Because every day it's a spiritual battle. And if you don't believe that the devil's real, I tell people all the time, I believe there's a devil. Two reasons why I believe there's a devil. They say, you got two reasons? What are they? I say, one, the Bible says so. And two, I used to work for him. He's real. He's alive and he's active. He's powerful. But he's not all powerful.
Amen.
And God wants us to be aware of that. Especially that we're going to start emerging, coming out of our cocoon. Do you think the devil's happy about that?
No.
Absolutely not. If we think, well, he's not worried about that. He's at Starbucks having some coffee right now. He's at the church down the street. We're good. We're good. No. There's a spiritual battle that's going on. And we hear the pastor Kurt say it all the time, and I love the things he says. You know what? There's a song that says it the way he said it. He asked us a question last week, and the answer was that God loves people. And there's a song. I don't know who sings it, but I hear it sometimes. It's an old song, so maybe some of you guys have heard it. But it says, God loves people more than anything. That he would rather die than to let them go. Every time I hear that song, I'm like, man.
So true.
Man. And some of them say, but you're still young and God has blessed you and you seem to be strong and you can be good out there in the field. Let me tell you something. Moses was 80 years old when God called him. Anybody 80 years old in here?
Not yet.
Not yet? Let me tell you something. He says, Moses, it's not who you are. He says, it's who I am. And Pharaoh was symbolic of the satanic stuff that we faced too. Because they thought, the people, that Pharaoh was God. So we know that it's real. And God has pulled me out of so much stuff. But each and everyone has different experiences. My experiences in life may have been different from yours. But regardless of where they are, where your experiences are, and how much education you got, you know, I'm telling you that God, through the Spirit of God and empowering us, I don't care if you're breathing. The Bible says there is more hope for a living dog than a dead lion. If you're breathing today and you're alive and you can speak, you can say something, then just share your faith, what God has done. Remember the blind man? He didn't know. They said, how did Jesus do this? How did you were blind? We know this dude was blind from his mother's womb. Let's ask him again. How did he open your eyes? He says, look, I don't know. I don't even know him. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. And that's a testimony. Some people say, they tell me, well, but I can't do that. I said, yeah, you can. You can just tell them what Jesus has done for you. Just tell them that you were blind and now you can see. It may sound silly, but I'm going to tell you the gospel is simple. And the Bible says, and Paul says in Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why, Paul? He says, because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. You want power in your witness? I want power in my witness. And I'm learning. God is teaching me. And God's learning. And God's saying, then share the gospel. The death, the burial, and the resurrection, and I'll do the rest. Billy Graham says that all the time. It's not my responsibility how you respond. My responsibility is to share the gospel. And I'll leave the results to God.
Amen.
So no matter who you are, let me tell you, I've witnessed to from high, mighty people, politicians. God has given me the privilege to down to the crack house, from law enforcement, because a lot of times in prison, I dealt with a lot of law, I spent a lot of time with correction officers, and a lot of times, you know what, it was a very tough witnessing. Very tough, because a lot of them felt like, wait a second. You're in prison, I'm not. Maybe you needed this, but I don't need that. And some of them were receptive. And some of them said things that I don't even want to repeat. Get out of my face with that stuff right now. I'd be like, yes, sir. And I'd walk away. Jesus says, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. I had one officer come back to work one day, and he says, you know what? He pulled me aside. He says, hey, thanks for sharing that with me last night. He worked in graveyard. And I used to work graveyard as a porter. You know what a porter is? All night I have to be up with all the images. You're saying, I'm just sweeping the floors, mopping, kind of just walking around looking like I'm doing something. While they're sleeping, the officers are just on the job, you know. But I would always go. Because you know what? All they could say is no to me. But if I wasn't ashamed of the things that I used to do, that's what I should have been ashamed of. But I wasn't. How much more now that I'm serving God, be ashamed of the gospel? No. Because sometimes the enemy tries to, either whether it's shame, because it doesn't seem so sophisticated, so intellectual. But, you know, in prison, and it's interesting that we mentioned that you guys are being taught all the religions. You have it all back there, from Wicca to Muslims, Mormons, Jehovah's. I mean, everybody, thousands of inmates in one yard, and it's like, and there's so many different beliefs. And I was telling Pastor Kurt, you know, it was that was my training ground to deal with so many different faiths. You know? But you would meet officers and I would witness to them and I'd share what God done, and it was interesting. I always heard that. Hey, you know, I'm good for you, man. I'm really good for you. You needed that. Maybe now you'll stay out. But you know what? Knowing the Word of God, you're able to lovingly share the truth that says, no, sir. Listen. You need this as much as I do. Well, what do you mean? Because some of them are curious. They're people just like us. They're people that are also dealing with pornography, alcohol, beating their wives up, abusing their children. You know, they're dealing the same stuff that we are. You know? And they need Jesus too. and sharing Jesus with him. And so that officer comes back to me and says, I accepted Jesus Christ in the parking lot after you shared all that with me. He says, I come from a Christian home, and I used to go to church, and I hadn't gone in 10 years. And just you sharing your faith and your testimony with me, I just want you to know that, man. And I said, well, praise God, man.
Praise God.
Praise God. And I was like, man, Lord, thank you, you know? Because sometimes, you know, there's a wall between correction officers and inmates. But the jailer, the Philippian jailer in Acts was saved. Remember when the wall came coming down and he came trembling and he fell upon that Paul's feet. He says, what must I do, sir, to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the Bible says the Philippian did that to jail. The Philippian, the correction officer, I'm going to call him correction officer. He did that. Then he took Paul and Silas to his home. He took care of their you know, their cuts and bruises, whatever they had. The guy got beaten up for the name of Jesus. He took care of them, fed them, and he said, now share this with my family. And the Bible says his whole house was saved. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the devil whispers in our ear and says, you know what? Is that real? I mean, really, man. You're just playing church. You'd be surprised. Don't underestimate the enemy. He has different tactics and methods. I mean, to the point where he'll finally come up to you and he'll say, did God really say that? Imagine that. He came and told Eve, did God really say that? Straight up. If he knows nothing else is working, then he'll just come up straight to you and tell you in your face, did God really say that? But we have to say, it is written. Amen. It is written. The Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight.
That's right.
We don't walk by what our eyes can see and perceive. But we're saying, God, this doesn't make sense. But I'm walking by faith. You are who you are. And you're going to do what you say you're going to do. God has been so good to me. And I know he's been good to a lot of you guys. So, you know, I always tell people, you know, you're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. But I know what God has called me to do. And how could I ever shut up after experience the grace of God? And I tell people this. I can share my testimony in 45 seconds. I took more than 45 minutes. But I tell people this, I can share my testimony in 45 seconds. And here it goes. One day, God had nothing better to do. So he just rolled up his sleeve and he put his hand into the very pit of hell. And he reached down for the filthiest, dirtiest, slimiest thing he could find. And he found me. And he plucked me right out of the devil's hands. And he washed me with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And he says, go unto the world and preach the gospel. And that was 20 years ago. You know, I wish I could say, look at me. This is what you're going to look like when you get to heaven. No. Nobody's arrived. We should get shirts to say, still under construction.
That's right.
Because God is continually working on us each and every day.
Amen.
Like the song said, to be more like you. From glory to glory. From faith to faith. Paul told the Corinthians, the Philippians, he says, I am confident of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you, think about it. In you, he says, he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. One translation says, he says, I am certain of this. Should we not be sharing the gospel? Whether they accept it or they don't. That's not our responsibility. Whether you're in school, wherever you may be, your influence of circle. Whether you're in school, whether you're just, you're going to the bingo place, whatever it is you do, share Jesus Christ with somebody. tell them what God has done for you. And leave the results to God. Because one day Jesus is coming back, he's going to take his church with him.
Yes.
In the twinkling of an eye, we're gone. We're out of here. It's real. It's real. Sometimes we get intimidated to share our faith. But God has taught me, don't be ashamed of me. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. I don't care if you're wearing a three-piece suit. You share the gospel with everybody you come across. Yes, Lord. Who are you? And what do you want me to do? So, well, I just want to say I thank God for allowing me to share my testimony, and I just thank God for giving me a second chance in life. When I could have been dead so many times. But by the grace of God, you're hearing a man this morning that I feel should have been God a long time ago, but God gave me so many chances. God is a God of second, third, fourth, fifth chances. And I just want to thank him for that this morning.